This is Bob Hartman from Petra. You're listening to Classic Christian Rock Podcast with Wild Man and Steve.
Hello, everybody. We want to welcome you to the Classic Christian Rock Podcast. I'm looking forward once again to another great episode. Steve Perkins is with me once again. How are you doing today, Steve?
You know, I am doing just fine, Wild Man. It's a chance to talk classic Christian rock with some brothers in faith. So what could possibly be wrong?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I was thinking, you know, this show is becoming so popular now, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
You know, I had a meeting with all of our listeners last night, and both of them agreed. No, seriously, folks, we have been excited about how this show has been growing since we started in January based on the downloads. And it has been exciting how God has been using this, and it's just been organic. And I appreciate that. Steve, you're going to have to help me out. Is there a Latin way to say organic?
You know, there is, but I tell you what, we'll keep it simple for the folks at home, and we'll just leave it in English.
Simple is always good. Yeah. Well, folks, we have a guest with us today, and his name is Jason Fowler. You probably have seen him with his solo music. He does worship style solo music, and I'm sure if you followed someone like John Schlitt or Billy Smiley with their project of the Union of Sinners and Saints, you have seen Jason Fowler, because he has been with them. He has toured with them and has been in the studio with them, and really has added a tremendous component to the ministry. And we're just excited to have you with us here, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. It's so great to be here, and great to be with you, Wild Man and Steve.
Yeah, thank you for coming. We appreciate you taking the time. And wanted to start just a bit. This is a general question that musicians typically get asked, but this is what I'm always curious about. What was it that got you inspired to do music in the first place?
Well, I grew up in a musical family. My uncle played guitar. His nickname was Slide. And being from the South, only maybe an hour away from Macon, we grew up on the Allman Brothers. And my other uncle, Chris, plays piano. My dad sings very well. And just been in a musical family all my life, and grew up around music, as well as we would go over to my grandmother's house, and they would be playing old spirituals or it would break out into an Allman Brothers tune. And so from an early age, I've always just been around music and loved music.
Okay, you already started us off on a great direction. You said Allman Brothers. All right, we're going on a whole new thing now. So Allman Brothers, talk to us a little bit about, and I'm going to throw several terms out there, but Country and Western, Southern rock, Southern gospel. There's so much overlap in a lot of those styles there. Talk to us a little bit specifically about how some of those styles influenced you, and particularly if there's been any other bands, secular or Christian, in addition to the Allman Brothers.
Well, I grew up going to church, and I grew up actually, my first, it was the second and third grade. I went to a Christian school and everything. So growing up in music, if you're from the South, I mean, you love like the Allman Brothers Band. I mean, it would even be something like Hank Williams Jr., as well as rock bands like AC/DC, you know, and then moving into, you know, whether it was Foreigner, the Allman Brothers Band, Lynyrd Skynyrd, but also anything that was riff rock bass driven, which I believe kind of it's like a melting pot of the blues, gospel, you know, R&B, as well as riff rock, just in your face, simple, just songs about life and hardship and overcoming them. I think that that's where a lot of the Southern roots come from in music for me, is just music that you felt when you listened to it. And so a lot of the influences have come from rock and roll, as well as some blues and R&B and different things like that early on in my life. So
yeah, no, I was going to say, I think it's hard to separate those things out, and you threw even more genres in there. And I think musicians know this. I think real fans of music recognize this. I think a lot of fans may just listen to music and go, hey, I know I like it, and may not really know all the styles or know why. But, I mean, that's exactly right. With the blues, certainly starting in the South, migrating north over time, and the influence of those. It's interesting to me to hear artists who may have found their professional niche in one area, but everybody keeps coming back to some of those same things musically and lyrically that were their influences. I just find that really interesting.
Yeah, it's been a spectrum for me too. I mean, it would range anywhere from Eric Clapton, Cream, I mean, Led Zeppelin to AC/DC to anything that had a guitar in it, Joe Satriani. And then it developed into some of the hair metal, in the 80s, in the late 80s. And then it went into a lot of the grunge rock. And I've just always focused around my musical styles around the guitar. And, being early in my career too, when I was growing up and started playing guitar and different things like that, at 16 is when I started playing guitar. I actually heard somebody playing, I think it was Sweet Home Alabama, and I said, whatever that is, I want to do that. That riff, just the starting riff, got me. I think music is one of those things that it can enter into your mind and your heart and your soul and change the way that you feel without even your permission. And it just is the universal language. And so with all the different styles that I grew up with, I mean, there was also things like, Michael Jackson and music that had a meaning and a groove. I would always think that the groove came first and the riff came first, and then I would listen to a lot of the melodies and then the lyrics and everything. And so a lot of secular music is what I grew up on, but I think now that I listen back on a lot of those, I'm hearing so many spiritual overtones, because I think even bands like U2 and different bands like that who have shaped a lot of the modern worship, whether it's, John Schlitt coming from Head East to Petra, and White Cross, and just different early Christian classic rock like that. I think it's all influenced by a lot of the older blues, and even some of the country, and even some of the R&B.
Yeah, it's something to see how things connect like that. And it's amazing today, Jason, how people have the ability to do that. They have the ability because of the internet and because of the smartphones and social media. Kids today can look back and can see how things connect. But I know that, from our era, we weren't too aware of that. I mean, I grew up listening to Petra, and I never realized that they had the influence that they did until later on, where that came from. You listen to an artist and you think that, hey, they're the first ones to play that chord, or they're the first ones to play that melody like that. But it's amazing how music overlaps. How would you say your music, what's the influence of your music currently in comparison to what you just explained?
Well, I feel like once there is a melodic riff type of melody in a song, and a lot of times it comes up, I come up with it on acoustic or electric, and I believe that the influence from that, you could trace it all the way back to maybe an Eric Clapton riff, or you could trace it back to an early blues song. I know that groups like Led Zeppelin actually did a lot of that, where they played a lot of the early blues, and they were spiritual songs, which is funny because a lot of people don't realize that the origins of a lot of the riffs and a lot of the melodies and a lot of the progressions that we are playing today come from spirituals and, you know, early blues spiritual yes. songs. And see, that's when you trace it back like that, I think a lot of my influence comes from things, music that moves. And when you hear it, it just moves you, and it makes you put you in a place. It almost paints a picture for you without too much description, but allows you to fall into a place that is different from your normal everyday thoughts. And when it does that, it takes you on a journey. And when you add the lyrics in there and the melody into it, especially with the message of being about redemption, grace, what Jesus has done on the cross, where I was being lost and where I was being found and being blind, but now I see, even in amazing grace, something as simple as a song like that is so powerful because the message comes through and the movement comes through the music, but the lyrics, when you start to really focus on that, it's the message of the good news, the gospel.
60, 59, 58, 57.
Hey, wild man.
55, 54,
hey,
53.
Hey, wild man.
52, 51.
Hey, wild man.
Yes, Steve.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm just taking a minute.
What?
Yeah, and not just any minute, mind you. I'm taking a Christian minute.
A Christian minute?
Yep.
Could you explain?
Man, I tell you, sometimes I wonder about you, Steve. Do you even listen to our show? We've talked about this on our last couple episodes.
Really?
Yes. You remember ChristianMinute.com?
Wild man,
And I must say, I think it's good because, you know, you can't expect someone to be Christian all day, especially in the workplace. So thank God there's a podcast now that teaches us how to be Christian for 1 minute. Then we can go back to whatever attitude we desire.
Yeah, wild man, I hate to tell you this, but it's actually ChristianMenAtWork.com.
Huh?
Yes, ChristianMenAtWork.com. They're teaching men how to be Christians all the time, especially in the workplace. Come on, man. You're a pastor. You should know this.
Well, I was thinking...
Jesus himself taught that to follow him means to deny oneself.
Well, right. Yeah, I get that. But for more than a minute?
Yes, wild man, for much more than a minute. Actually, he didn't give a time limit. Being Christian means our entire life, especially where we spend most of our time, on the job. Wild man, what are you doing?
I'm looking for the Non-Christian Minute website. I need a minute, or maybe there's a non-Christian hour. I mean, this has been a long day. I'm sure there's a podcast about the non-Christian hour.
Oh, man.
Find the Men at Christian Work podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Find out more information at ChristianMenAtWork.com.
Yeah, that's great how it works out that way, and how God has given us music and all those different styles, so for the purpose of redirecting it back to him, as you said, for the gospel.
Amen.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about, Jason, because I'm a guitarist myself. I've played since I was about 14, 15, around the same time you probably started, and I've always been amateur. I thought I was going to hit the road someday, and then God had other plans for me, and I just followed what God wanted. But just out of curiosity for the musicians that are listening or for the guitarists that are listening, what has it been like for you, the recording process, going in the studio, recording, laying down tracks? What has that experience been like for you?
Well, it's definitely a learning experience. Like with anything, you go into and you have a certain thought on it as to how it's going to go, and then it ends up going a different way. And a lot of times when you get there in the middle of an idea that you think is going to be the part of the guitar, you know, track, it ends up developing into something else. And I think that the other instruments moving around within the song and working with a producer and working with other musicians, it kind of develops into a whole new thing. And so, I mean, to this day, a lot of people think, well, you know, once you get to a certain point, you don't have to continue to play and practice. And I think that that is completely opposite of what I'm learning continuously, and especially playing in the Union of Sinners and Saints with such great musicians, you know, producers and legends of CCM music. I'm learning on a daily basis that when I go in there with an open heart, with an open mind, and with the purpose of using the gift that God has given me, like he's given me a gift, a talent. And when I use it for him, it's my gift back to him. So it's kind of like just honing my skill so that I can do the best that I can to glorify him. So, I mean, when you put it into a spiritual sense, that is one way. But also when you put into it and technically too, is we get better as we go about into new situations. So starting out with recording, I wasn't like, I mean, I'm sure like so many other people, you get to that place to where you have an idea in your head and you go into the studio and it doesn't quite work out the way that you wanted it to. So you adapt. And you are driven maybe by the bass line, maybe by the drums, maybe by the vocal line. And then you go back and do a couple of takes. And sometimes you may have laid it down in the first take. But I think that pre-production is a big part of being prepared and playing too before you go in the studio.
Jason, I want to ask you, and Wildman kind of led into this by asking something coming from the guitar perspective as a guitarist. I'm not a guitarist at all. I sang growing up in choirs and so forth, but I want to ask a question that we've not asked before. So this is a real hot dogs versus hamburgers kind of question. Okay, you know, you can really separate people out by, you know, you hot dogs or hamburgers kind of guy. So here's my question for you, sir: Stratocaster or Telecaster?
Oranges and apples would be my answer. They're both good. They're both great. You know, I've always been a Les Paul guy. I have a 79 Silverburst custom Les Paul. And I remember going in and when I first bought it, or started.
Wait. I'm sorry. Excuse me for interrupting. Could you say that one more time? What Les Paul do you have again?
1979 Silverburst Les Paul custom.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just sitting here. Just give me a moment to digest that. Okay. <All right. laughs> I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. So the coating on a Les Paul is nitrocellulose back in the day. And basically, it allowed the wood to breathe. And I didn't realize, I didn't care what the color was when I went to pick it out. I just wanted the playability. And they called the custom Les Paul the Fretless Wonder because it has flatter style frets. I didn't realize that. I'd played about 8 or 9 of them, and I had really liked this one, and it had turned a little green, so it was a greenish kind of patina on the guitar, and I still have that guitar today, and the neck is worn off from 20-something years of me playing, and the silver is there. It's still green, and it actually, the finish is crackled. Now, that's for the Les Paul. For the Strat, though, is a totally different sound. The Les Paul is real rich, real warm, and just a great tone. And I realized when I started going to the studio and I started playing Strats, a friend of mine had a Strat as well as G&L is another type of guitar that George and Leo Fender actually started after they had sold Fender to CBS. And he had a G&L. And when I recorded, I noticed that I actually kind of like the Stratocaster a little bit better for recording than I did the Les Paul. So usually I'll utilize the Les Paul for larger, fuller rhythm sounds, unless there's a specific solo that needs that Les Paul tone. And then a lot of the solos and a lot of the intricacies of maybe a guitar part that's a finger-picking melodic line or something with a staccato feel, I would use a Stratocaster. So really, they're both different. My wife actually bought me a Stratocaster that I love. And at first, I was you know, thinking in my head, well, I'm a Les Paul guy, but I started really recording with it, and it really changed the way that I felt about Strats, and I play that Stratocaster live a lot as well.
Now, you used a word just now, and we've dropped a name earlier in the interview, and that word and that name really go together in my mind a lot. The word is tone, and the name was Michael Sweet. I've never heard anybody talk so much about tone as Michael does. The guy is just a perfectionist. He's just insane. He just loves to play with tone and really is so careful of what he's looking for and trying to achieve on records. Talk to us a little bit more about that for you. What are you looking for in terms of tone? What kinds of things are you doing to get that tone, whether in terms of particular pedals or whatnot? Just kind of go off on that a little bit for us.
Well, you always get a lot of different combinations going in for a tone. You know, it could be the type of guitar definitely will shape a lot of the tone. It has to start out as a good tone from the guitar, and then using effects pedals or maybe an overdrive or something as a fuzz or something that gives a slight compression to it. Those are different things that also can change the way that the guitar plays. And the amps too. The amplifier for me that I love, I have an AD30. It's an Orange AD30, and I just love the versatility of it. I love the compression that comes from the tubes, the natural tubes. And basically, when you're playing dynamically, that means if you hit the string hard, it sounds like it's being, you know, you're digging in. If you play lightly, then it cleans up. So I love the versatility of a tube amp. So it just depends on the song, really. It's, you know, really, what is the song maybe asking for, or what does it really need? And so I always try to find what the song is, you know, is needing. A lot of times, you know, whether it's a guitar riff or a chimey part, or maybe it's a three-part repetitive arpeggiated part, or it may be a solo, a lot of times what I'll do is try different guitars combinations with different pedals, and then also with different amps. And usually you get your kind of sweet spot, and then you start going back to those. And you start building a resume of tone in your head and from your albums and from your recordings and from your experience. And as you build that repertoire, you know what to go back to get certain things.
Yeah, that's really amazing that as you share that, Jason. I'm sorry for stammering. I'm still trying to just to get over the equipment that you just stated that you have. you know, if we weren't on lockdown, Wild Man might find a reason to be on your front doorstep.
We'll have a jam session, man.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that because you know, Les Paul, I got my first Les Paul this year, and I've played for 38 years. My wife got it for my birthday, my very first one. I was excited about that. And we had Rex Carroll from White Cross on the show, and awesome. And I asked him about which one did he like, Les Paul or Strat. And of course he said they're both good, but he told me about a trick, a guitarist trick that I never heard of before that I guess Randy Rhodes did way back when, that there's a way you can bend the Les Paul neck to get a whammy bar effect without actually doing any damage if you're careful. And it's amazing the things that guitarists can get into. I've always said to other guitarists that we speak a different language because it's, you just go in and guitarists just, there's just something about it. When you play guitar, whether you're amateur or whether you're professional, there's something about the instrument that, you know, like say, for example, me, I played metal and rock and amateur bands and different things. But classical intrigued me. Anything with six strings intrigued me, or 12 strings for that matter. There's just something about the instrument of the guitar.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, it is. It's something for hobbyists, definitely. You know, so one of the things that I'm curious about, your style, your personal style that you have when people go to jasonfowler.com and they see your music now, and what you're coming out with now, How do you, number one, how would you describe your style to your fans? And number two, what is it that goes into that? How do you come up with your style?
Well, I think your style is just a culmination of or my style is a culmination of years of just different types of influence. And you could definitely a lot of the 90s rock that I grew up with, too, as well, comes out in a lot of my music. Also, you know, in the 80s and the 70s, I mean, whether it was, you know, Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac to, you know, Angus Young to Eric Clapton to Joe Satriani. All of those will come out in certain ways. But I think that my description, one of the guys from Lifeway on my last album, I Fall In, he said it's a Southern rock hill song. It sounds like that. And so I'll take that. I'll take that. And working with the guys, you know, John Schlitt and Billy Smiley, and Billy Smiley actually produced the record I Fall In, and he's a rocker as well. And so I have tracks like We Rise that are just straight up in your face rock and roll, and then I have songs like Come Alive where there's a riff that is in drop D, and then I have some nice mellow songs too. So I kind of go back and forth in between what my style is, but it always seems to be Southern, you know, riff rock, melody rock. So I don't know exactly how to explain it other than it's Jason Fowler.
That's great. Yeah, that is, you know, it's great to think about, you know, you're out there now with your style, and you're not really trying to copy anybody, but you're just naturally being yourself, which all of us know God certainly blesses that.
Well, I think, too, with one of the things that you're saying is that you develop, I think, your style by actually listening and imitating a lot of people that influence you. And that's what I did most of my career. Our pre-career is just to more or less my influences would come out. And I think that you eventually come to a place to where that culmination defines who God has created you to be. And that is to be yourself, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how God kind of puts those pieces of the puzzle together throughout the years. So talk to us, you mentioned about Billy Smiley and John Schlitt, Union of Sinners and Saints is where I first heard of you. And talk to us about that, how that project began and how it started, how you got involved and where the Union is going right now.
Well, I had recorded my first record, Letters from the Inside, my first Christian record, with Jason Horde, who played with Third Day, and he's out of Georgia, and he's played with a lot of different artists. He's a guitarist, bluegrass background, as a matter of fact, but he's a smoking guitarist as well. And that first record, Letters from the Inside, if you go on Spotify or any digital outlets, you can listen to it. It is more rock driven, definitely, from my Southern roots. There's a song called Free to Mend. And I was up in Nashville playing a show, and I played that tune, Free to Mend, with my band. And Billy Smiley was there, and it was a conference, and he came up to me afterwards and said, "Man, that rocks. Let's talk about, do you have any plans of recording another album?" And so my manager, record label at the time, we had talked to Billy and ended up going up to Dark Horse Studios in Nashville and working with Billy Smiley. And he and I started recording, and we co-wrote several of the tunes on my album called I Fall In. And once we started recording tunes, we were having so much fun because he's a rocker and I'm a rocker at heart. I may have a couple of tunes out there that may have some pop vibe and different things like that, but I'm just such a rocker at heart. I think something happens when you turn a guitar up and have a full band and just play loud. something happens and it just releases in a way. It's a spiritual moment for me, and I think that it goes through the guitar as well and all the musical instruments. But we were about halfway through recording the record, and Billy said, you know, hey, I ran into an old friend of mine, John Schlitt from Petra, the other day, and we're thinking about starting something up, maybe a band. We'd love for you to play guitar. And I said, what? Absolutely. I told him I'd think about it, and I thought about it for a second. I said, sure. That would be
wow, that's incredible.
And so I met John, and you know, we started. Billy gave me several tunes to work on, and to one of them was Bittersweet and Rise Up. Those are the two songs that I co-wrote on the Union of Sinners and Saints album. But just being on tour with those guys and recording that first album has been such an experience. And I didn't realize at the time until I had started playing in the band, and we had played a couple of shows and different things, that John Schlitt was in Head East, and that he did that song Never Been Any Reason. And all of a sudden it just took it to another level for me, because that's the type of riff rock that I'm talking about, that I grew up on, that 70s style, Bad Company, Foreigner, anything with riff rock like that in Head East. And so when I found that out, we had a really, really cool conversation one time in the studio, and I said, well, you know what? We should definitely play that song at some point. And he's like, no, it can't be done, man. We've never played it acoustic. And I said, well, let's think about it. So we started playing some more shows and came back into the studio, and I said, here, let's try it out. And there's a recording on the Union of Sinners and Saints Facebook page that shows us playing that song in three-part harmony, and it was just a moment in time for me to realize that I'm sitting here playing with two legends who have been able to use their gifts and talents to just spread the gospel all over the world in a way that broke down walls. You know, it was kind of, they were the outlaws at the time. And to see how many people have, and to hear the stories of how many people have come to know Jesus through their music, and to be able to play music with them, it's kind of a childhood dream. It's very interesting, because I have a similar story to John, and I always tell him he reminds me of my dad so much. His mannerisms, right down to having a Diet Coke on stage, everything. So we've really had a lot of fun, and we're looking, we're recording more songs. As a matter of fact, before the COVID hit, the coronavirus, I had plans to go up to Nashville to finish recording guitars on a couple of new Union songs. So we have stuff in the works, and I'm looking forward to be able to share a new album here in the near future, hopefully.
Jason, I want to take you in a two-part question, and I want you to think about this both ways. How does Christian faith, your Christian faith, the Christian faith, whether it's personal or the faith in general, how does that affect your music? But then I also want to take it the other way. How does music help people in their faith? So kind of a double-headed question there. Going both directions.
Well, I think that music, like I was talking about before, is the music is the universal language. It's you could take a million people and line them up and play music for them, and they could all speak different languages, and they're going to be affected by it. You know, it's going to just enter in there to their mind, body, and soul, and change the way they feel. And I believe that God created music for that purpose. And I know that, you know, one of the worship leaders who was cast out, the enemy, was a worship leader. And what's amazing to me is that the worship leaders were on the front line. And it talks about that in the Bible, how the worship leaders led the battle. And so music is super, super powerful. And I went down a road after I'd started playing guitar, you know, at 16. I can tell you a little bit about my story, but developed, I guess, what you call the rock and roll attitude, you know, drinking, doing everything that comes with rock and roll. And I didn't think anything of it. I kind of got away from church after around 16 years old. I'd started drinking and doing different things in my life, and I I just thought that that's what you did. I looked at all of these other people playing music and I thought, wow, you know, this is, you know, it's just what you do. And so I partied a lot and I went down that whole road, and music took me to another place too as well. And I think that you can use it for all types of different ways. It can definitely be used for good as well as bad. And I think that, to me, one of the things that has really affected me in my music direction these days is how I've become so aware of how powerful it is. And it's like once I became a new creation through Christ, and once I accepted Christ into my heart and my soul and my mind, and it just seemed like that playing music for anything other than God was just making a bunch of noise. My wife told me that, you know, she said, if you're making music for anything other than God, you're just really using that talent and gift for other things instead of to glorify Him and to help others. And so what has developed in my life today is that I want to be able to make music and use the tools that God's given me, the gift that God's given me, the powerful musical ability to be able to tell people about the best news in the world, the redemption, the grace, the love that God gave us all, even though we were still sinners, died on the cross for our sins and gave us a new life. And I want to tell people, no matter how far gone or how far down you are, that you actually can be made into a new creation by the love and grace of what Jesus has done on the cross. And so today I use the music for that. There was a time in my life where, you know, 2010, where I played in a big, pretty big, heavy rock group with some guys that played with Ozzy Osbourne, Zakk Wylde's band, Black Label Society, the drummer and the guitar player, and a guy from Queensryche, and two guys from Double Drive, heavy rock, and it's actually on iTunes right now. And they respected me for my faith. I had been sober for a while. I guess it was about, at this point, 5 years. My life had changed. I accepted Christ in my life, and they respected that in my life. But they had called me up and said, hey, we need another singer. Would you like to try out? And so I tried out with these guys and ended up becoming the singer. But it just didn't feel like I was at home. And I feel like that my music today, I feel at home because I feel I'm in my purpose. I feel like that I have been able to use what God has given me to help others and to glorify Him. And when we find that in life, I believe that's where home is. That's where our purpose is. And if you don't know your purpose, I would say go out there and serve your way into your purpose. Go and find a place to serve using the gift that God's given you. It may not be music. It may be something else. My wife and I have a homeless ministry that we do. And just go and serve without anything in any repay. And just what'll happen is you'll find what makes you come alive. And when you come alive, once you look around and see what you're doing, see where you're serving at, and once you find that position of what makes you come alive, then do that with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind to love God and to love others, and you'll have a joyful life. That's where your purpose is. That's where home is, and that's what I finally found in music. So that's why I play Christian music today.
I gotta say, there are so many things in what you just said, Jason, okay, so Wild Man can be sitting there thinking and fantasizing about that Les Paul. I'm sitting there thinking about what you just said about serving your way in and really just finding your calling, but just getting in there and doing something, first of all. And then, you know, that statement about, you know, finding that thing that really just makes you come alive and then going and doing that. Honestly, I think that is such a message for so many people. And because, again, I think, well, you know, like you were saying with the rock star lifestyle, well, this is what it's supposed to be, right? I see these guys doing this thing and I'm supposed to be like that. I think sometimes people think that with their Christian walk as well. Like, well, I see those other people over there doing that. Well, I guess I'm supposed to do that too. Well, whatever that is may be right for you, but it may not be. And I'm not talking about in terms of you know, sinful behavior or anything like that, but maybe somebody is called over here to a homeless ministry, like you're talking about with you and your wife. But somebody else is called to a different area of ministry. And you got to say, you know, what is God really lighting up your heart with? and making you come alive. And again, try different things, serve your way into it. I really, really like that. I think that's a neat way to approach that.
I heard that from I can't remember the pastor's name, but it really stuck with me. And I believe that, like you said, all of us have different gifts that God's given us, and we may not have the same ones, but that's why we have to work together. That's how come it's love God and love others. I mean, it's so important to have those relationships with others, because with Him in the middle of it, when we have a relationship with somebody else, friendship, you know, brotherhood, sisterhood, anything like that, they have a different gift and I have a different gift. We use it together. It's something greater. And especially with Him at the helm, Him at the wheel, you know, it's our purpose. And that's where we really, really come alive. As a matter of fact, the song off my last record, I Fall In, is the very first song, intro song, is called Come Alive. And it's got a heavy guitar riff, and it's just about, you know, it was about coming alive in our purpose, which is from Him.
So let's say there's somebody listening to our podcast and is somebody who's wanting to get into the music scene. God has gifted them that way, whether it's instrumentally or vocally, and they're going, you know what, I kind of want to do what Jason's doing. What would you say, because you've got lots of experience, you know, up, down, sideways, good, bad, ugly. What would you say to somebody who's trying to get into the music biz today? So here it is, 2020, everything is digital, it's different ways of recording, touring looks different, obviously with where we are right now, but just in general, I think touring looks different, marketing looks very different from where it was certainly back in the 70s, 80s, and so forth. So what kind of advice would you give to somebody who says, hey, I feel that gift, I've got that passion, well, how do I do it?
I think it's still all about relationships. I think what I mean by that is the fan and the listener, as well as the musician or the artist. There's a connection there, and it's meant to be there. And I think that it's a powerful circle that is created when you create music, and then when you find out that somebody likes the music, and then they start following you and they want more of what you're doing. And really, when you make it about God, then more so it becomes even more fluent as to it's not selfish. You know, there can be a road that you can go down to where it's a selfish kind of thing, but you'd also have to treat it kind of like a, you know, a business to succeed. What I mean by that is realistically, the cream is going to rise to the top. And if you do it with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, you put it in the right order, God first, you know, family, and put your priorities right, and be able to put time into starting out a career with music, it can be done from the ground floor up by building those relationships. So I think with the new age of social media, and with the new age of not touring so much, and the new age of being, you know, having to connect through the technologies that we have today, I would say to anybody who wants to start out, you know, find your instrument, find your craft, start writing songs. Sometimes it's easier to write songs with other people because collaboration. It's funny because I used to write songs a lot by myself. But when I started collaborating, I realized, wow, this is awesome, because it's designed that way. We're supposed to be with each other. It's just a spiritual thing that I feel. But what you need to do, if I was starting out today, is I would say, or if I had a new band that I was helping out, which I do help out on some bands here and there. As a matter of fact, a message came from Canada the other day, and I prayed with a guy who had a heart attack last year. I played a festival called No Greater Love with the Unionist Sinners and Saints, and I was able to play on stage solo as well. But he had messaged me, and he said, remember when you prayed for me and everything, you told me to use my talent for God and for others, and to take, you know, just little steps at a time. And he messaged me and sent me a link to his website, and he has a song that he has recorded with him and his wife, and they have a video for it, and they're actually doing it. And he was thanking me, but really all I was telling him is just from my heart, from what God was just has told me, is just to continue doing what you're doing. So do that. Do it with all your heart, do it with all your soul, do it with all your mind, and it doesn't have to be the best. a lot of writers, a lot of musicians, I heard a writer say one time that he gets his book, a writer of a book, he gets it to about 75%. So if you're writing a song, get it to about 75%. And then from there, either talk to somebody like a producer or either talk to someone, an engineer, about possibly recording that song. What he does is he'll send it to an editor at that point, so it's never, you know, perfected until he works with somebody else. And a lot of times I'll work with producers once I get the songs to the point to where I think that they're good to share. And sometimes I'll just do co-writes from the ground floor up. So my advice to anybody out there would be to start writing songs. And if you already have songs, pick maybe 3 or 4 or 5 of the best ones and go, you know, share them with your friends, whether it's like a handheld recording or a handheld, you know, it can be an iPhone recording. Maybe share it with a couple of people that you know, and find out which ones they think that, you know, are something that some of your better ones. And then maybe go in with a producer or into a studio or with someone who has recorded before and record those songs. And maybe it ends up being 1, 2, or 3 songs out of the 5. And then there are so many platforms like Spotify, TuneCore, DistroKid, that you can actually self-upload your song with a photo and get a video for it. Start a fan page and just start a little bit at a time. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you want it to be your best representation at that time. And so if it's your best representation at that time and you want to put it out, then put out a song here, put out a song in a couple of months, put out a song a couple of months later, and just start building your fan base and find the people that enjoy what you do and start connecting with them.
That is some incredibly solid advice. I'm sitting here listening to that. And we all go on YouTube and we look at, you know, how-to videos on this, that, and the other thing. And I was looking at something this afternoon, and one of the comments on this particular video, somebody said, you know, you gave us just the information we needed, not a lot of other frills. Thank you. That was a really helpful video. And I think seriously, some of what you just said is incredibly helpful for people who would be starting out. And again, if you're sitting there thinking, hey, I want to be, you know, Led Zeppelin tomorrow, A, that's not going to happen.
No.
But also, you know, really, what is your motivation? And if your motivation is, hey, I've got this gift, I want to use it to bless others, I want to use it to bless the Lord, I really think that some of those suggestions you just gave are very just tangible things people can do and start building. And like you said, with social media, you know, it cuts both ways. I mean, obviously there's a glut of stuff out there and there's a lot of stuff that probably isn't worth listening to. But on the other hand, through social media, your Instagram, your Twitter and whatnot, YouTube, you can start to build those followings, like you said, and find people of similar interest. And next thing you know, you're sharing that and saying, hey, would you follow me? And the next friend says, hey, you need to follow this guy. And you can really kind of start to build that up and get your word out there.
Yeah, I think that it's great too what you said too, because for me that's what it's all about. It's about music is the vehicle for the message. The message is redemption, hope, grace, love. You may feel like that you have music may break down a wall that somebody has been holding on to and living behind for almost all of their life, but music can enter into that wall, and that message that comes through that music can tear that wall down. That relationship with God can tear that wall down, and next thing you know, you have somebody who is not only a changed life, but you get to see a changed life, and that increases your faith. It works together. Everything for me is about, you know, how can I best be used with the talent that God's given me to glorify Him and to love others? And that's the simplicity part of it. That's the simple part of it. Now, there are different ways to get there, but the one way that I have found that has really spoke volumes into my life is to be honest and to be who you are. And to, in order to do that, we have to get straight from the truth, and that's the Bible.
You know, Jason, that's great to hear you share that. And that leads me to a question that I wanted to ask you to somewhat elaborate on. You know, before the show here, Steve and I were talking about your testimony that is very clear on your website. You know, your dealings with in the alcohol issue and then finding Christ in the midst of that. Your story is very powerful. And at the same time, it is somewhat common, as I have heard other testimonies that are similar to yours. What would be your advice, taking it off of the music side of things now, what would be your advice to anyone out there who might be listening to this today and they just feel like they've hit rock bottom and they just feel like they have nowhere else to turn? What would you say to them today?
I was at that place. I started out when I was 16 years old. I was going to church. I was raised in a Christian family, doing wonderful, you know, wonderful parents. My dad was struggling with alcoholism. I said, that's never going to happen to me. A friend of mine asked me, he said, Jason, would you like to go and hang out? We're going to go drink some beer. And all I heard was, do you want to be cool? And I ended up taking my first drink and going down that road of the easy fix, the one that I thought was going to kill the fear, which is, you know, liquid courage, you could call it. The enemy will put counterfeits in our life, and we'll chase those counterfeits. We'll go down a path that to us looks like it's going to have hope. To us, that looks like it's going to be the easy fix, whether it's the right relationship, whether it's the right job, whether it's the right money. And so we end up chasing those things, and that's what I did. I started drinking. I started chasing that dream of music, and it became the focus of my life. And went through several different hardships where my dad had went through a couple different rehabs. And you can check out the story on my website, Jason Fowler Music, or on Twitter or _ Jason Fowler, or on my Instagram, Jason Fowler Music, but or my YouTube as well. But basically, the story of redemption, it's amazing, because I saw my dad go through several different rehabs, and he almost passed away from alcoholism. He's been sober 27 years. He finally got to that place where he said, I need you, God, and he saved him. And I remember telling myself, that's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to get, you know, to that place. And I ended up continuing going down that road of alcohol and drugs, and ended up getting what I thought was going to be on top of the world, that counterfeit. I thought if I got a record deal that I was going to be rich and famous, and that all my problems were going to go away. And I ended up getting a record deal, $250,000 record deal, and went into Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and recorded where like the Rolling Stones, Aretha Franklin, Bob Seger, Lynyrd Skynyrd had recorded in these rooms. And I'm sitting there and I'm recording with the producer that produced the Allman Brothers and Sisters album, with Jessica and Ramblin' Man and everything on it. And I thought, man, I'm on top of the world right now. But I was so far from that. I was so lost. I was on top of the world, but I was lost in a crowd, and I was hurting. And I was so lost and broken at that point. And we made the album. The album was completed, and it was about to come out. This has been our like fourth or fifth album. And I ended up getting a call, and they told us the record label had been sold to another company. And at that point, I was like, cool, I can't wait. You know, it's going to be awesome. But they shelved the record, so the album never came out. The crazy thing is we put our hopes and dreams in so many different things in our life that maybe they're going to fail us if it's not God first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, and all else will be added to you. And that means basically he's going to provide everything that we've ever needed. We just have to seek him first and keep our eyes on him. Well, when that crumbled, the family, the band, everything crumbled up underneath my feet. And I was not on the hard surface of the rock. I was not on the rock of Jesus. And I ended up homeless in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'll never forget that moment, 2005. I got kicked out of a drug dealer's house. And I said, whoever you are, God, whatever you are, God, I need your help. and I met it with everything that I had. And I ended up a couple of weeks later in a Christ-based recovery center, Celebrate Recovery. And I ended up finding out that I needed a relationship with God all along, and that He was the one that I was looking for the whole time. He was the one I was trying to fill up that hole inside of me with, because it was just made up. Really, it's made perfectly for Him. I finally realized that I was a child of God. And if you're out there now and you're not sure about being hope, you know, having any type of hope, and you feel like that you're hopeless, let me tell you, you're not. You're made in the image of Jesus Christ. You're made in the image of the King of all kings. You're made in the image of the great almighty healer, the one who can take anything that and just renew anything. And He renewed my life, made me a brand new creation, and has given me an opportunity to be on bigger platforms than I've ever been on, using the gift that He has given me to play music. And now I finally realize that I needed to be playing music for Him all along. So that's what I'm doing today. And for anybody out there, if you feel hopeless, go to message me on Jason Fowler Music. Just message me and I'll talk to you. There's nobody too far gone to be healed by Jesus Christ. And that's what happened in my life. It happened so dramatically that it changed everything, and I devoted everything to Him. Today, I live a life second to none, and I still sponsor guys. I work with Celebrate Recovery. I get to play music with some of the greatest legends, John Schlitt and Billy Smiley. And it's just amazing to me how somebody who could be lost and hopeless and homeless could come from that and be where I am today. And that's Jesus Christ did that for me.
Wow. Yes. Well, thank you for that, Jason. That is so inspiring. It is so sincere. And it is clear that, you know, folks, you just heard somebody just explain himself being at the rock bottom, not knowing where to turn. And Christ was the last place he turned, but that was the best place he turned. And what an incredible message to let anybody listening out there know that there's hope for you right now. So as we're coming to the end of the show today, Jason, I want to ask you if you could do us a favor. I know I just asked you to talk to those listening. Would you be willing to say a prayer for anybody listening that may feel like they're at rock bottom? Because when they listen to this, I'm sure God would use that to reach out to somebody right now.
Absolutely. Lord, we come to you today, and so many of us have been through that place of just trying to exhaust everything that we have of ourselves to complete us, but only in the way that you can complete us, Lord. If there's anybody out there, which I know there is, because there are so many people, I was one of them that was just, I felt so lost and broken, Lord. I just pray that you come into the heart right now, that their heart softens up just for the opening of you to come into their life, Lord, to be able to change the direction of where they are. They may feel like that they are completely hopeless, Lord, but you, the King of Kings, the creator of all, the healer of all healers, can heal their heart. And I pray that you just enter into their heart, send them a comfort, a spirit. It may be something that they need to let off their chest, whether it be a forgiveness, whether it be a resentment that they need to deal with. It may be an addiction that they may be dealing with. It may be unforgiveness. It may be something physically that they may be dealing with. It may be fear, Lord. I just pray that you send your mighty spirit of comfort into their hearts and allow them to be changed from the inside out, to not only know the true freedom that you want us all to have, the joy and the happiness you want all of us to have, but also to feel that their value in you, Lord, their value, that they're children of God, Lord, that they are each one specifically made just exactly who they are, perfect in your eyes, made perfect in your image, exactly who they are. I pray for each one of them right now to come to that place of just asking you, Lord, asking you for forgiveness and asking you to enter into their heart, into their life, and to take over their will and to just make them new again, Lord, a new creation. I pray this right now for each one of the people that are listening. And for even somebody that may not be listening now, it may be somebody that's listening now that their life change may be the life change for somebody else. I pray right now for each one of them, for each one of their families, for safety, for healing, for just a protection, and for knowledge of a clear path for them, Lord, that you be the lantern to their to guide them where to go, what the next step is, and give them the power, your power, all ultimate power to carry it out, Lord. We love you, and we praise your holy name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. That was awesome.
Yes. Well, thank Jason, this has been great. Folks, you can find him, as he said, at jasonfowlermusic.com. He's also on social media with Twitter and Facebook. And he, as he said, if you want to reach out to him, he will talk to you, which he has said over and over from the beginning of this show, the purpose of why he does what he does, that music is just the vehicle, and the real reason is to glorify Christ and to bring others to him. And that's just a solid reminder today, Jason, in today's world, that that really truly is what music is all about and what being an artist is all about.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Yeah, so thank you for taking the time. And Steve, I have a challenge for you. I don't know if it's much of a challenge because you're such an expert. For next time, for the next episode you and I do, would you be able to find out for us how to say Les Paul in Latin?
Absolutely.
And you know what? I could see that being the title of Jason's next album. Hey, you never know. That could be...
You never know.
Yeah, depending on what you find out there. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Well, yeah, we can do it.
Well, hey, thanks everybody for listening, and we will see you soon.
This episode, Jason Fowler shared his testimony of how God took him from a very dark place into light. Perhaps you feel like your life is just that right now, dark. The truth is, Jesus loves you and desires to bring you into his light. Simply say, Jesus, I know I need you. Show me what this means. You may be surprised at what happens next. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in next time to Classic Christian Rock with Wildman and Steve. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform at ratethispodcast.com/CCR.